Well, they scraped and scraped and scraped all day, and they got to the bottom of the barrel, and this is what you got. So, we're not going to have a sermon tonight or a teaching per se. Brother Wayne was going to be teaching tonight. Our pastor wanted to be with his family. His mother and dad's up here, and he said this was the only night they could all be together. And I told him I thought it would be fine with me and with the other deacons. And Brother Wayne was going to teach, but Brother Wayne's in the hospital. They think he's had seizures. And he's going to be testing, I guess, tomorrow for a seizure test. So continue to pray for Brother Wayne. We don't know how severe or anything, but just continue to pray for him. We know he's in the Lord's hands. That's important. But we know we love him as well, and that's important. That's what Jesus tells us to do, isn't it? To love one another. Doesn't matter what you look like, or where you're from, or what you have, or what you don't have. He didn't say you might want to love each other. What did he say? Love one another. That's a commandment. So I don't have any choice but to love you. And whether you like it or not, you don't have any choice but to love me. And sometimes I'm not lovable. If you don't believe me, you can ask a lot of people around here, and they probably agree with that. But it doesn't matter. God loves me. Jesus loves me. And that's enough for me. But I want to do a little devotional tonight. It won't take but a few minutes. But if you have your Bible, you can turn to the Scriptures if you think I'm misleading you. But I'm telling you the truth when I speak this. When Jesus said in Luke 9:62, he's telling us to follow him. That's nothing new, is it? That's why we're here, so we can learn how to follow him better. Luke 9:62. Everyone ready? If you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not ready, come up here and get on the altar. Okay, so we're all ready. Luke 9:62. But Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Now, Brother John and I just spoke a minute ago, and I shared with him about where they live in the valley up here, off the mountain, but on the mountain too, that I used to ride down the road by where his house sits, in Robin's house, and I rode mules off that mountain many times to go to the valley. We were sharecroppers and tenants, so I rode mules off the mountain many times and back up to the mountain where I live to farm in the valley, because it's a lot better than farming on the hillside. Our mules didn't hardly know what to do, because they've been used to going back and forth on the field to plow it, and down the valley you just went around and around and kept turning. Your plow wouldn't even turn over. It just turned one way, and you had to keep going that way. But anyway, it reminded me of this scripture here, that what Jesus is talking about is putting your hands to the plow. How many in here have ever put your hand to a plow? 4 or 5 people? 6? Okay. But if we're here 25 years from now and someone says that, they will probably look at you and say, "What is a plow?" Because we have lost our touch with where we came from, and we've lost our touch with where we're going. But Jesus says here, if you're plowing, you don't look backward. And what he's alluding to is, if you're plowing a furrow and you look backward, you know what happens, don't you? You plow a crooked furrow, or you're out of the furrow and you're plowing over in the field away from the furrow. And your mules probably think you're crazy. But what Jesus is saying here is to follow him and don't look back. And I read a scripture today, and he says, if you don't hate your father and your mother and your sister and your brothers, and love him, then the love of God's not in you. It doesn't mean to hate them. It means that you change your priorities. Instead of serving people, you start serving the Lord. Well, this is today is Jesus is talking about following him. I'm going to read a commentary that I read from every day. And this is what today's reading was. With these words, Jesus invited his disciples to a new way of living and a new life altogether. Their priorities, their schedules, their habits, and everything about their lives was going to change. In following Jesus, they had a new aim and a new destination. Following Jesus is not a casual assent to his teaching. It is not a respectful acknowledgement of importance. It is complete, total obedience and abundant of a new way of life and getting back away from the old way of life. Some profess their willingness to follow Jesus, like in Luke 9:57, they stated, "I will follow you wherever you go." You might have felt that way when you first got saved. You were just so committed and just so dedicated to your salvation. But, you know, it's gotten older. You've gotten older. And you move somewhat away from the Lord. We all have at times. Some of the scriptures call that backsliding. That means you're moving back away from the Lord instead of staying beside of him. But in the end, Jesus reminded them and us as well that the choice to follow him meant no turning back. He says looking back, but that means no turning back. There's a song we sing in that. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The choice to follow Jesus is complete. We are to put on our hands to the plow and refuse to look back. When we became a child of God through Jesus Christ, we said that we would follow him. Remember what Peter told him when Jesus told him that he may be taken captive, he may be killed? And Peter said, not so, Lord. I'll take up the sword and die for you. And Jesus said, Peter, you will deny me three times in the next few days. And Peter looked at him like, Lord, I'd never deny you. Do we deny Christ every day? In some way we do, don't we? Do you tell everybody you meet about Jesus? Do you want everybody you meet to go to heaven? If you don't, you know what you're saying to that person? I'm willing for you to go to hell. You don't tell them that in words, but you tell it in your actions, and I do too. I saw a mother and two sons the other day, yesterday in fact, at the Getty Market out here. It used to be called the Tiger Market, beside the bank out here, John and Robin. They're newcomers to Duffield, but we're going to love them anyway. We don't have a choice, but we do love them. But I saw a mother and two sons, and I've never seen her drive in my life. But she was driving her two sons around, and her two sons are 45, 50 plus. You know why she was driving them around? Because they can't have a driver's license. You know why they can't have a driver's license? Because they're alcoholics and druggies. And she shared with me, an 84-year-old woman shared with me and said, alcoholism has destroyed so many people's lives. And her husband, I knew him well, lived just down the mountain from us, grew up knowing him my whole life. He was an alcoholic. And now she's trying to get her sons out of that. So many people get stuck up in the world and dragged down by the world because they look backward. They look into the world for good things. But the good things are not always good things. At the time they seem good, but in the end they're evil. But the choice here to follow Jesus is not easy. We are to look forward and refuse to look back. We're to lock the door and to sin and willfully rebellion and throwing the key away to say, I'm not going back there. I don't know if you ever said that to yourself, but I've said that to myself. I'm not going back there where I was before. Because before I wasn't happy. I thought I was, but I wasn't. I wasn't doing what the Lord would have me to do. I thought I was sometimes, but I wasn't. So I have to do what this commentary says to do. To lock the door to sin and throw the key away. And pretend that you don't even know where it's at. Because you don't need to go back there. And the choice, we have this every day. We have a choice to sin or not to sin. We have a choice to love somebody or not to love them. We have a choice to do for somebody or not to do. And that choice is, if you're following Jesus, you know what he says to do. To love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's a big order, isn't it? That's a big command. Do you think much as much of your neighbor as you do yourself? Do you do as much for your neighbor as you do yourself? Do you pray for your neighbor as much as you do your family? If not, we're not following close to Jesus. And we forget those things. Just simple things sometimes we forget. But we have a choice every day what we need to be like. And it is all-consuming. It is leaving the old way behind and following him. That's exactly what he said. Take up your cross and follow me. Every one of us has a cross. Yours may be different than mine. Yours may be heavier than mine. But we all have crosses to bear. If we don't have a cross to bear, then I would doubt your salvation. If things don't bother you that other people have to go through, and you can't love them through it, I'd have to question your salvation. I can't judge your salvation, but I would question it because you're not bearing fruit. James writes, if we're Christians, we should be fruit bearers. But we don't need to be looking back. We need to leave the old way and travel the new way. John and I talked about the road up by his house now, and if you went up part of the way, you can go in a vehicle, and if you go a little farther, you can get on the four-wheeler. And if you get a little farther, you might have to get on a mule and ride it on up. But would you choose that road, Brother John, or would you rather take 58 to the top of the mountain in a car? You'd probably like to just take the car up to the top and look over. Most people would. We would choose the easy way, wouldn't we? We do. But do we choose the easy way when it comes to other people? Do we make excuses for not helping other people? Do we even care? If you care and you love Jesus, then you'll care about people. And he commanded us to love others. So at this question, it begs another question. Can a person be a follower of Jesus if he or she is not following Jesus? Can you be a follower of Jesus if you're not doing it? You can give it lip service, can't you? You can sit out in the garage in a chair and say, I'm a car, and rev your motor up. But you're not a car. Being in a garage don't make you a car. Being in church don't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is what's in your heart. And that's what Jesus says and God says. Jesus says that he doesn't look upon you for what you do. He looks upon the intent of what you do. He looks upon your heart. Do you help somebody because you think they might pay you well? Or do you help somebody because you love them? And that's what Jesus measures you with. What is the intent of your heart every day? Is your intent to do good? Not to be good, but to do good. If you're doing good well enough, you're going to be good. You'll look like Jesus. You'll talk like Him and walk like Him and do like He did. But sometimes we look back, and then the furrow looks back, it gets crooked behind us. I remember plowing, laying off corn ground about this time of year up on top of the mountain, right below where the tower sits on our property. There's a field there about 4 or 5 acres in it. My dad and I were up there planting corn. I stayed out of school. I got to stay out of school to do that. Wasn't that great? I loved it. And he said, well, you got to go back tomorrow. But he was going to drill the corn in with one mew into the furrow, and I was laying off the furrows. And I wasn't good at it. I was 15 maybe or so. But on the mountain, sometimes you got little dips and banks and hills, and you got to try to lay off a straight row through that. And I laid off, the lower side was pretty even and smooth, and I laid off pretty good furrows. But when I got, the farther I got up the hill, the crooker they got. And I said, Dad, I just need to quit. I can't even do this. He said, son, don't worry about it. What you don't get in one row will be in the next row. And he drilled the corn in every how I laid it off. They weren't real straight. I remember that because I had to go back and plow it later. If you ever try to plow a crooked row of corn on a hillside, you cover up more sometimes than you plow beside of. But I'm just saying all that to say this. Jesus was right. You can't look back and plow a straight furrow. Don't look back. Keep looking ahead. For a Redeemer draweth nigh.
I think Donna's got a question.
You know, I didn't understand what you said.
Laying off is when you take a bull tongue plow, it's got a real wide tongue on it, and you get behind that and you tell the mule to get up and go G right, haul left, and you try to plow straight furrow. That's called laying off. And you come with a drill. It was a drill that drilled the corn into the furrow, and the fertilizer had two bends on it. One had corn, one had fertilizer, and it put it in the furrow and covered it back up. I thought that was modern. But I went to the valley and farmed down there with my dad's son on a renter's property, our renting. And, well, he had a tractor. He had a drill that would drill three rows of corn at a time. And I thought, boy, are we stupid. But that was just the difference in farms and lay of land and whatever. I'm just saying that plowing a furrow, whether it's on a hillside or in the valley, needs to be straight as you can make it. I live on the mountain, and my furrow, spiritually has to be as straight as yours if you live in the valley where there's no crooks and ups and downs. There's no difference in me and you because I live on the mountain where it's crooked land and crooked trees and crooked everything. But the furrow needs to be straight. And that's what Jesus is saying. Don't look backward, look forward. If you look back, you'll plow a crooked furrow. Any other comments? Or do I need to explain myself better?
Yes.
Maybe I didn't use the right word, Sister Donna. I'm sorry. But if you'll come up to my house, I'll demonstrate how you lay a furrow off. And most people won't be up there because they don't want to know. That means work. But it's a good devotional just to remind us where we need to be tomorrow and next day and next year and wherever. Whether you're plowing or whether you're working for someone else, the Bible says if you're working for someone else, do it as good as you can, the best you can, and do it like you're doing it for the Lord. You're not doing it for a man or a company. Do it like you're doing it for the Lord. If you do, I've told many students this that I've had in school. If you get a job and they put you cleaning commodes, you'll be the best commode cleaner that ever was, and you'll advance. And we saw one in Kingsport a year ago or so, didn't we, Lynn, that said he was getting his master's degree. It reminded me of what I'd said to him in the fifth grade. And he could care less in the fifth grade then, but it really stuck with him the rest of his life. And he was getting his master's degree. And he was a terrible student, terrible behavior. But he got his furrow straight. So just plow the straight furrow with the Lord's help. Any other questions or comments? We're not going to have any more teaching tonight from me. We're going to do a song service. If you've never been to a song service, guess what? We all sing. And you can choose a book out of the hymnal, a song out of the hymnal. Brother Ken's going to be up here to direct this. And Sister Nancy is going to play whatever you choose if she can. If she can't play what you choose, you get to come up and sing it. God bless you.
Okay. We've got one request right now, number 426. You can either stand or sit in your seats, either one. You sound better when you stand up because you've got the diaphragm going. We're gonna start off number 426. As soon as Miss Nancy gets ready, we're gonna go. I know you know this one. Thank you. Favorite time. What's that?
142.
There is a fountain. 142. Got a favorite? 138. At Calvary, 138.
What time? 138.
138.
138. Thank you.
Okay, I guess we'll be dismissed, and I'll have a short word of prayer, and we'll be on our way, but let's all bow our heads. Father God, it's just so good to be in your house again, and amongst your people, and to hear the lessons you've learned, and to sing the songs of praise to you. It's been a beautiful day that you've given us, and I just want to thank you for it. Remember all those who are sick and infirm and couldn't be here, especially Brother Wayne, as he's having treatment at the hospital right now. There's several that's had surgery and is going to have surgery. We'd just like to lift them up to you and be with them and put your tender mercy upon them. Be with the leaders of our nation. Put godly people in their way that they may make right decisions. That glorify you. Just be with us and love us as you always do, and lead, guide, and direct us. And we just ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.